Public Affairs for California's Department of Health Services. Since then, he's been consulting in media relations, media training, and crisis communications. Among his clients are CDC, FDA, and EPA, and state and local health agencies nationwide. In the private sector, his clients include Intel, Electronic Arts, Hewlett-Packard, and many other Silicon Valley enterprises, which gives you a sense that he still is in California. He constantly monitors communications trends and says he's fascinated to watch the shift from traditional media, newspapers, radio, television, to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And his presentation will focus on some of those new and social media. He'll be followed by Tim Church. Tim is Director of Communications for the Washington State Department of Health, and he's a recent past president of the National Public Health Information Coalition, and that's an organization made up of many in state and local health departments who do media relations, public affairs, and communications. He oversees department communications, including media relations, risk communications, and web content. He has an extensive communications background. He graduated from Washington State University's Edward R. Murrow School of Communication with a degree in broadcast journalism and has worked in television news for almost 15 years. He believes that all communications should be clear, easy to understand, avoid acronyms, and government speak, and he's going to talk about some of his experiences and some of the lessons he has learned, and he'll be taking a perspective that focuses a little bit more on traditional media. And with that, I will start by turning this over to Norm. Norm?
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, everybody. I expect you know that we are going through a big shift. Excuse me. Well, let's watch it. As I started to say, we're going through a major shift in how we communicate today. We're moving away from the days when, as A.J. Liebling once said many, many years ago, he said, freedom of the press belongs to those who own one. And that was before the internet came along. Today, I own a press. As a matter of fact, I own three or four of them. I have a blog, I have Twitter, I have Facebook. I publish there whenever I want, and you probably have a press yourselves. And we can publish and we can say what we want, and it can be read around the world instantly, and so can everyone else, and they're doing it. There's a shift going on not only in how we communicate, but there is a shift going on in what we communicate. About 3 years ago, a fellow by the name of David Meerman Scott wrote a book called New Rules of Marketing and PR. And Scott said in his book that we are shifting from a situation in which we had top-down communications, in which we were, he called it interruption communication, interruption advertising. Interruption advertising is when you're sitting there watching the Super Bowl or the basketball playoffs and they stop play to run a commercial. And you're not looking for a Toyota pickup or whatever else it is they happen to be advertising on that commercial. And so the process is interrupted. He said we're moving away from that to what he calls conversation marketing. Conversation marketing is where when I want to buy something, I will go to Amazon.com, for example, and I will look there to see what their price is. And then I scroll down to the bottom of the page to see what other people have said about that particular product. I happen to be a photographer in my spare time, and so let's say that I'm going to look for a tripod for my camera. I'll see what somebody has said about that tripod, and if what they've said, and if there's a consistent pattern there, I will probably avoid buying that tripod. And I've never had that opportunity before. I've never had a chance to talk to other people or hear from other people who have had that kind of experience. So we're moving to that kind of a world. I kind of watch some of the studies about what's happening with us. I tend to watch a lot of trends, and one of my favorite places to go for trend watching is the Pew Research Center. They have 7 ongoing projects, including the ones that I really watch most carefully are the Pew Internet and American Life Project, the Project for Excellence in Journalism, and the Pew Research Center for People in the Press. And I want to show you just a little bit of some of the results that Pew has come up with in their very recent studies. Last December, they asked 1,500 people, where do you get most of your news? And this is what we saw. Television is the most popular among less well-educated and lower-income groups. And Pew predicts that the Internet will surpass television within the next few years. Interestingly enough, as you look at that radio number, radio is in a bit of a state of decline, but there is one exception, and that is National Public Radio, whose audiences are up 58% since the year 2000. Pew also asked about the Internet as a main source by age groups, and this is what they saw. The sharpest increase in the last 2 years is in the 18 to 29 and the 50 to 64-year-old groups. The slowest increase is in the 65-plus group. These things total more than 100% because people were allowed to offer 2 sources as their primary source of news. Pew asked in another study the percentage of online adults who are looking for health information online, and this is what they saw. Half of those who go online for health information say they were looking for information for someone else. And here is what they were looking for. The lowest use of the Internet is among African Americans, Latinos, adults living with a disability, and adults 65 and over. However, young Latinos and African Americans are more likely to use it than their older counterparts. Here is the information that adults get when using mobile devices. This is what they're most interested in. Pew learned that people who are online, on the go, are 4 times as likely to use Twitter. With all of this in mind, what can you do? What should you be doing right now if you're not doing anything about what's happening with this shift in communication? Well, the first thing I think you need to be doing is monitoring the internet. Let me back up here because we're getting ahead of ourselves. You can monitor the internet, and here's how you do that. Number one, if you're not using Google Alerts, you ought to be. And the first thing you ought to be doing is putting your name in as a search under Google Alerts. Just go to alerts.google.com, and you will get this screen. You put your search terms in. Under type, you can select news or blogs or video or discussions, or all of them. Under how often, you can get information as it happens. And if you put down as it happens, I can tell you that it can be very quick. Google has spiders that are all over the internet, and they search very rapidly, and they search very well. I have all of my clients on Google Search, or Google Alerts, and I get stuff within a matter of minutes, sometimes a matter of seconds after it's posted on the internet. Under volume, it will give you the chance to opt for either only the best results or for all results. Another Google service that you could very well be using is Google Reader. And Google Reader is particularly useful if you monitor websites and are looking for updates on particular websites. If they have the RSS bug, that little orange bug or something that looks kind of like it, and there are several different iterations of that bug, you just click on that, and if you're subscribed to Google Reader, it will ask you where you want this and what you want, and you click it, and then whenever that website is updated for any reason, it will give you an alert. I have a number of things on my Google Reader, and I just go in there every 2 or 3 days and take a look and see what's new. If you're concerned about blogs, here's where you want to go. Technorati, TechNorati.com. And Technorati simply monitors blogs. It monitors a lot of other internet activities as well. But I find Technorati particularly useful because it does this one little thing. Over there on the right-hand side, you will see a number that is the authority figure. And this, we don't know how they assign this authority figure at Technorati. We think it's probably based on what we call inbound links, which means how many other websites are linking to it. But the higher that number, the more authority Technorati believes that particular blog has. I grabbed this just about 30 minutes ago off Technorati's website, and I just asked for the top 100 sites on the internet. You can see that the Huffington Post came out number one. Most of the rest of these that are here are technical sites, but there's lots of other information there. And you can search on very specific terms under Technorati for stuff that is of interest to you, and it'll give you some kind of an authority figure. It kind of tells you whether or not you need to worry about or think about what you see on Technorati. If you find yourself on the internet, if you find somebody's talking about you or something you're interested in, let me just give you a couple of thoughts about what you probably ought to be doing to respond. First of all, I think it's a good idea just to monitor, to watch and to listen. I would suggest if you're new to this, just don't necessarily get involved right away by responding right away, but kind of get the tone, kind of get the sense about what people are writing about. See if their stuff is well-rounded, well-founded, good information, then probably you will want to think about responding. And if you begin to respond, there are 3 things you need to do. Number one, you need to respond very quickly, because within a matter of minutes, things can go, as you know, can go viral on the internet. So get it over with very quickly. Secondly, be conversational. The internet is about conversations. It's not about any other form of communication. And thirdly, be transparent. Don't say that you're somebody who you are not. John Mackey, who is the CEO of Whole Foods, posted back in 2000, between 2000 and 2007, several posts on the Yahoo Financial Message Board using the name Rahodeb, which is an anagram for his wife's name spelled backwards, And he talked about what a great place, what a great operation Whole Foods was, and he finally got caught up with it, and it was very embarrassing and caused him some legal problems. Three things you need to know in order to effectively deliver a message. Number one, who is the audience? Who are you talking to? Once you've got your message, figure out who it is you're talking to. I like to tell a little story about the private pilot that was flying along one Tuesday afternoon in his little Cessna. And he called the tower and he said, "Tower, what time is it?" And the air traffic controller in the tower said, "Who are you?" And the pilot said, "What does it matter who I am? I asked you what time it was." And the guy in the tower said, "Well, if you're a private pilot, it's 3 o'clock. If you're an Air Force pilot or a commercial pilot, it's 1,500 hours. If you're a Navy pilot, it's 6 bells. If you're an Army pilot, the big hand is on the 12. And if you're a Marine Corps pilot, it's Tuesday." So think about who you're talking to when you want to deliver that message. Then think about what channel you're going to use to get that message to those people. Because you're not necessarily going to deliver the same message via the same channel to all audiences. There used to be a time when we'd put out a press release, and lo and behold, that was all there was to it. Well, that day is long gone. The third thing you need to think about is, who is going to be my spokesperson? And different spokespersons have different levels of credibility with different audiences. So those are the three things that I think you need to pay attention to if you're going to develop a message. I want to give you one more example of things that can be done with the Internet, and this is done by a fellow by the name of Kerry Shearer, and some of you may know Kerry. Kerry was the head of public affairs for the Sacramento County Department of Public Health for a long time. He is now a private consultant, but he put together this little example of some of the things that they did at the public health department with the H1N1 crisis at the end of 2009. And he was kind enough to edit it for me and send it to me night before last, and I just wanted to play it for you right now.
Social media and new media techniques played a really important part of the H1N1 outreach at Sacramento County Public Health. Between November 16, 2009 and January 15, 2010, we held a series of 35 mass vaccination clinics capable of vaccinating 2,000 people at each clinic, and social media really helped us reach out. We used Twitter to publicize our clinics and give real-time information on wait times. Not only did we have people coming in saying that they'd received our Twitter messages or were notified by somebody who had, but our messages got retweeted. I remember just absolutely being shocked that just one of our Twitter followers had retweeted one of our messages about a clinic to 4,700 people. So we know that even though we had 900 followers, our messages were getting out to a far wider audience. Twitter was great for listening, too. I spotted a tweet from a reporter at Sacramento's major newspaper to the followers of that newspaper's Twitter feed asking for any mom who had kids who they weren't going to vaccinate to give them a call so they could be part of the story. That gave me the heads up that I needed to be ready with vaccine safety information when the newspaper called me for our side. Video was huge for us. I'd already created a tiny web studio so we could shoot quick videos in-house for YouTube distribution. We shot fast turnaround informational videos about H1N1 with the health officer or myself, news interviews, and even a live TV interview with a health officer via Skype. But we also produced field videos at the clinics with either our full quality camera or even a cheap flip video camera. As you may be able to see, we've got a bit of a line here, so be sure to dress warmly if you come to this or any of our clinics because you will have an outdoor wait. We'd post the videos immediately to YouTube, put links on our websites, and then send out links via Twitter and Facebook so people could watch the latest information. One of our videos even told people what to expect when they came to a clinic. Since we were saturated with news media at most of our clinics, I ended up creating a portable field office and set that up at each clinic site, which allowed me to do all my communications work right there in the field. For a couple of our news conferences, we used Ustream.tv to stream the event to our website using a camcorder, laptop, and Verizon MiFi cellular broadband card. And we carried many of the CDC news conferences live by simply embedding the stream from the CDC right on the homepage of our website. So that's an overview of how Sacramento County Public Health used social media techniques to reach out during the H1N1 emergency. Norm, that's it from me. Now back to you. whichever side you're on.
In summary, let me just put it this way. Well, let me just let Eric Qualman put it this way. And I've run just a little bit into Tim's time here, but I want to do one more thing before I leave. I want to give you a couple of things that you may want to use. If you do, please do. There's my email address and there's my phone number. And you are welcome to give me a call or send me an email if you have a question about any of this. I will be happy to deal with it. I will be happy to answer to the best of my ability. I will charge my clients for that sort of thing, but I'm not going to send you a bill for it. I'm happy to do that. And the phone call is on me. So, thank you very much.